So we're going to talk about mindfulness of emotions and begin by exploring how does mindfulness view emotions. So like thoughts, there is no such thing as like a good or a bad emotion or a positive or negative, but that emotions can become destructive if you resist them. So again, this is about resistance in the form of clinging, avoiding, obsessing. And so anytime you resist an emotion, that emotion can become destructive and then lead to behaviors that aren't necessarily in your best interests or the person that you're relating to. And mindfulness instructs us to turn towards emotions. Whether we're talking about emotions or thoughts or like the breath, it's always this turning into this very paradoxical approach that mindfulness takes, because typically we're used to like not necessarily dealing with things. Or not wanting to deal with things. And so whenever there is an emotion, you're inclined to turn towards it and then have an attitude of openness. So openness is a wide, receptive kind of container that can hold all things. And the way you work with emotions is to make room for emotions to be. So the practice on mindfulness of the body and tuning into sensations in the body, and so there's tightness. Normally, when we feel pain in the body, we're not inclined to, you know, really zero in on that source of pain. But mindfulness, the practice of the body really helps us to when we have a distressing emotion, to actually move into it, not back out from it, because it's the resistance or the retreat, the avoidance, or also the clinging to it, the over attachment, like what we were talking about with the monkey not letting go of the banana, even though what it's going to mean is the monkey gets caught. So, I mean, even though we get caught with these emotions because we're holding on to them for dear life, this is what causes so much of the problem. So again, emotions are not seen as positive or negative. They can become destructive. If you resist them, you meet emotions with the quality of openness by moving into the emotion and making space for the emotion to be. So I like to use this, I've turned this Buddha story that uses salt in water into a visual kind of little scientific experiment of color in water. So let's say that this is your body. And so if I put 3 drops of food coloring in this very small container, then let's see what happens to the water. So it's getting really dark, and this is what happens if your emotion is being held really tightly. So all you can see is color here. And when the emotion is so strong, it takes on a life of its own, and you can't see through this at all. So there's no way to understand there's no space in here. There's no way to kind of be able to sort of see what the options might be, because all you see is the vividness of this color. So let's put the same amount of food coloring in a wide receptacle. So this is allowing emotions to move through you when in the quality of openness. So we have one drop here. And it's really interesting to see kind of what happens when you have this wide receptacle. And it's actually very pretty. And I think I put 4 drops in the last one, so let's put 1 more. And you can see how, like, emotions there are just dissipating. And, sort of finding space. And it's also kind of almost beautiful how it's taking on different shapes and tones, and the coloration is shifting. And if I were to shake this around, that so that it's all one color, that you can actually see through this. And so this is, I think, the meaning of being able to have enough space so that you're not so trapped in the emotion that you can see how you optionally can also respond to the situation. So this is what the Buddha story says in terms of salt and water, but now color and water, is that just like color in water, that disturbance of the mind or a disturbance of the heart diffuses in an open and spacious container. So that's really try to just remember to create space for emotions. And it's about being with the emotion. Again, it's not trying to fix or change it. It's just giving it space, just like physical sensations in the body, giving them space to dissolve and have room to just kind of spread out and just fade away or simply be, because just the acknowledgement of what's there is, that does so much. So what are emotions? Emotions basically are seen as mental states. So emotions arise as physical sensations in the body and also thoughts in the mind. Thoughts and emotions are intricately tied. Oftentimes we have a thought milliseconds later, we have an emotion that goes with it. Sometimes it's the opposite, but they're like these twins. And the thought creates a story, and the story sends you down this rabbit hole, and then the emotion reinforces the story, because the emotion has so much power to it that it's very convincing and alluring that, well, this thought must be true if I'm feeling so horrible. So this is where emotions can become destructive if you resist them. What are the roots of unwholesome emotions? Well, the roots are thought of as greed, hatred, and delusion. So greed is the clinging, and we talked about that in terms of, where does suffering come from? And it's this resistance to what's happening, and we tend to cling to what we want. Greed is the clinging. Hatred is the resisting. And so it's also trying to push away what we don't want. And then delusion is the delusion not really even seeing what's happening. So these are the roots. What are the feeling tones of emotions? So again, they're not seen as positive and negative. We experience emotions really as physical states of pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. And so it's just how the mind and the body react to emotions. And what influences emotions and thoughts? Well, Buddhist psychology talks about the five hindrances. So we have these hindrances that just get in the way of allowing us to see the bigger picture. And it's very helpful to know how you get stuck, what your hindrances are. So basically, the five hindrances, the first one is sensual desire. So that could take the form of, it's more like the clinging, just really just obsessing over what you want. In a relationship, it could be wanting to be with someone that you can't have or it's not working out and just not letting go. So each hindrance has a like an antidote to it, and can be neutralized. And so the way this sensual desire is neutralized is just committing to or finding interest in what it is that you're doing. Or if you have a partner and it's just not working out, explore where the interest is or the commitment is. The second hindrance is called ill will. So it's sort of the opposite of sensual desire. Ill will would be like the avoidance or the pushing away. And so in a relationship, it could take the form of being very critical and doing things that are just going to kind of push you from your partner, or in whatever you do, wanting whatever it is that's happening. And so it can be neutralized by exploring your beliefs and speaking from your heart. The third hindrance is sloth and torpor. And what that means is just laziness, boredom. So you can, I'm sure that you've all experienced some sloth and torpor in the meditation. So, how you can work with that is just finding more interest, just getting more committed and curious about what it is that you're doing. The fourth hindrance is restlessness and worry. So that's sort of the opposite. And that's just this kind of this agitation and wanting things to be different. So there's kind of clinging to pleasure and avoiding pain. And that's neutralized by just exploring your feelings of discomfort. And then lastly, it's doubt. So doubt takes the form of confusion, feeling disheartened, losing faith, and that could be neutralized by just understanding where this is coming from, where the loss of faith, what it's related to. So we've talked about greed, hatred, and delusion as being kind of at the crux of emotions. This is the clinging, the aversion, the not being aware, and then more specifically the hindrances that are tied and influence emotions. So mindfulness teaches us to look at how we're relating to emotions. And I talked about that last week with, it's not about changing the situation, it's about looking at how you're relating to the situation. So are you bringing in are you clinging? Are you avoiding? Are you bringing in doubt? Are you bringing in restlessness? So how are you relating to whatever it is that's happening? And mindfulness teaches us to welcome distressing emotions. And the problem is that we have a tendency to want to be comfortable. And so when we see emotions as of sadness or anger or whatever it is, our natural inclination is to see them basically as our enemy. And mindfulness is very much about befriending what's happening. So when we were talking about how the practice is going, something that really came out was being gentle with yourself. So if there's a struggle, it's looking at, okay, well, what can I learn about the struggle? It's being befriending the struggle. So there's a Buddha story, and it's the story of Buddha and Mara. So Mara is seen as like the demon or a nuisance. So Mara's agenda is to get in the way of Buddha becoming enlightened. You know, he just wants Buddha to get out of the spiritual path and, you know, feel doubt and getting into the various hindrances. And so he plays all these tricks on Buddha. So what he'll do, and he comes in various disguises. So in one story, Mara sends his three beautiful daughters, Thirst, Desire, and what is the other one? Delight. And so he sends them to seduce Buddha off the path. And then in another story, Mara sends an army. And so this whole army shows up, and they've got bows and arrows, and they're all sending all these arrows over to Buddha, who's like under the tree, you know, meditating. And Buddha changes the arrows to flowers. And so Buddha recognizes that Mara actually is not the enemy. Mara is actually the teacher. And Mara is, if he sees Mara as the teacher, then it's Mara is showing him how he can fall off the spiritual path, ways that he can get stuck, what it is that he needs to learn about. And so whenever you see what you think of as an obstacle, that obstacle is really an opportunity. So there's a phrase, your worst enemy is your greatest teacher. So mindfulness is also thought of as the ultimate reframe. So nothing is, again, because we're letting go of the judgment in terms of what happens, there really is no such thing as an obstacle. It's an opportunity. There's in the Chinese have a saying, obstacle or crisis is opportunity. And it's very similar in mindfulness, that that if you let go of the judgment with your emotions, with what happens, with your thoughts, everything becomes very, really a teaching, a learning opportunity. So the last thing that I want to say about emotions is, like thoughts, they're not to be identified with. And so if you're feeling, we'll just say, sad, that it's very important not to say, I am sad. And you start internalizing, like, I am a sad person. And but really, it's just that this is sadness. So what is sadness? And so if sadness comes your way, it's like, well, this is feeling kind of familiar here. You know, this is like, oh, this is my friend sadness over here. So sadness takes the form of this thought, maybe of, and we did this yesterday, last week with, if you're having, if you're doing meditation on thoughts, then you name the thought, and then you name the tape or the story. You put kind of a title to it, and sort of diffuse it with something that's somewhat humorous or light. And so sadness comes your way, and oh, there you are, sadness. I know you well. You know how sadness feels in the body. So this is sadness over here. If it has a wide container, then and if you're giving it enough space, then you actually can explore, oh, sadness feels like heaviness in the heart. But it's not to be taken personally. It's just that this is the physical, emotions are really physiological states. So it's our tendency to personalize the emotion and turn them into who we are. But this is the delusion. This is what we're trying to get out of. So what we're going to do after any kinds of questions and answers, is we'll do meditation on emotions, very similar to what we did last week, using the RAIN practice. Okay, so does anyone have any questions or comments about this talk?